Blog Talk Radio.
Good morning, everybody. This is the day that the Lord has made, and we shall rejoice and be glad in it. Thankful, grateful, and as always, blessed to be with you this morning as we move forward in the Word of God. And it is what said with me, y'all. Y'all know what I'm saying. A great word today. It is a great word. I'm excited because you know what? It's coming out of one of my favorite books and one of my favorite scriptures this morning. I can't wait to get to it. Our title is coming out of Acts chapter 16, starting at verse 25, that we all got to have our at about midnight moment. We got to pray. Prayer and worship changes all kinds of things. When we pray, when we worship, when we have time with God, it changes things in our life. It changes things in our walk. It changes things in our speech. It changes things, period. I can tell you, I had a at about midnight moment at church on yesterday. You know, I just felt the Holy Spirit just fall on the whole praise team. I just tell you now, I got to speak it in tongues. The tears wouldn't stop. Because when you sing a song like grateful, you know, I am grateful for the things that you have done. I am grateful for the victories we won. I could go on and on about your word. All your works that God has done, because I'm grateful. Grateful, so grateful to praise you, Lord, flowing from my heart. By the issues of my heart is gratefulness. And when you tell God that you're grateful, it changes the atmosphere. It changes everything when we are grateful and we let God know how thankful and grateful we are. It changes things. I'm grateful this morning. I'm thankful because I know that God has blessed me with another day. So when you hear me say I'm thankful, grateful, and blessed, thankful to wake up this morning, grateful that God chose me to do this work, which I love, and blessed to have another day to have a do-over, because you find yourself exhausted. And you'll accomplish what you want to, but we got to stop. I got to stop. And it just so happens. I love the fact that God will give you confirmation. On yesterday in our service, my pastor preached on trusting in the Lord. And from Matthew chapter 8. And then as we talked yesterday, we talked about trusting in the Lord. We got to trust God. And, you know, and that was a confirmation about trusting God for everything. And today is prayer and worship. We got to pray and we got to worship. We got to put on that music as we work the work we are doing. Listen to your gospel music. Worship God in your heart. Pray for others. Pray for yourself. Prayer and worship changes all kinds of things. We got to give God what's due God, our time. Father God in heaven, we come to you this morning lifting up the name of Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior, knowing that you gave us the greatest gift we could ever have. You gave us salvation, Father. And all I can say is I'm thankful that you love us enough, Father God. Another opportunity to be better today. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. We are grateful this morning that you gave us those beautiful hymns and songs to sing. For great is your faithfulness. You are great and greatly to be praised, oh God. For you loved us when we didn't even love ourselves. You loved us in spite of ourselves. You care about us, oh God. Even when we fall, you're always there to pick us up and dust us off and kiss our boots. Lord God, I give myself away this morning for you to use me, Lord. I give myself away, oh God, for you to use me, oh Lord. I ask you, Father God, with a humble heart, to increase as I decrease. Let the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart, Lord God, be acceptable in your holy and divine sight. For you are my strength, and you are my redeemer. In Jesus' name, I look up, lift up, giving you honor, giving you glory, giving you hallelujah praise. For prayer and worship changes all kinds of things. When you, oh God, are in charge. So, Father God, I give again all of this word to you. Speak through me, Lord. Speak through me, Lord. Let the words of my mouth and the meditation of my humble heart, I pray again, Father, be acceptable in your holy and divine sight. For you, Lord God, are my strength, and you, Lord God, are my redeemer. And I looked up, lift up, thanking you in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Let God arise and his enemies be scattered. For the Lord God is in charge of everything. And when we praise him, when we lift up his name, he changes the atmosphere. He changes all kind of things. All I can say is thank you, Lord, this morning. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you, Lord. Ooh, thank you, God. Thank you, Father God, for this day. Ooh, thank you. Sometimes you just want to just say thank you. Can't say nothing else, but I just feel a thankfulness in my spirit this morning. Thanking God for another day. When you give God thanks in prayer and praise, all you can say is, like Kurt said, I don't want to love nobody but you. Hallelujah. I don't want to love nobody. Love nobody but you. We got to have, I don't want to love anybody but you, God. I don't want to love anybody but you, Jesus. I don't want to love anybody but the Holy Spirit shines in me because it gives me what I need from the Lord. We got to love God with our whole heart, not playing church. And I love the fact at my own church, Pastor Jesse was like, hey, get your Bible. And that's what we should have. I said every Sunday, find a Bible-believing, Bible-teaching church, and that is for real. When you have a church that says, get your Bibles, I love, you know, Morning Glory, which is another ministry that I listen to before I come on and do this blog, because I got to get filled too. I got to get my feeling to give out what I need to give to you. It's just like a car. You can't drive a car without gas. That's why you can't preach without somebody ministering to you as well. Because when you minister, it takes a lot out of you, and you have to get a refilling. So I thank you, Morning Glory, for my refilling. I thank you, Pastor Jesse, for my refilling. I thank all of you for your prayers. Prayers change things. Worship changes things. But let's go into the word, because God will send a prophet to tell you the truth about yourself. You know, there are those going to be always out there prophesying. And we all know the story of Ahab. We all know that he was a hot mess. We all know that he thought he could use Jehoshaphat, who was a good king, you know, so he could go out and fight. But Jehoshaphat was a loving guy. And so, you know, it's like, come on now, we got to do what we must do because we do it for God. And so he gets sent over, he goes over to help Israel. He goes over to help his brother because he's read the word and he understands that we were one nation. You're going to always be my brother. I'm not going to fight against you. And so he went over to help. But Ahab thinking he's slick. I said, now you look like the king. In other words, if they decide to follow a king, they're going to follow you and not follow me. I'm just going to dress like any old body. So they won't know that I'm the king. Not understanding that when it's your time to die, it's your time to die. And you can't put nobody else in your place. And so let's get into this word because he did not like the prophet of God. Understand the prophet of God. There's all kind of prophets, but not all prophets are prophets of God. So you got to ask God for discernment when someone wants to give you a prophetic word. You know, Lord, let me know that if this word is from you, I accept it. But if this is a proper lie, then Lord, allow me to see it. You got to understand that. And this is what it says. And then Jehoshaphat strengthened himself against Israel. And he placed troops in all the fortified cities of Judah and set garrisons in the land of Judah and in the cities of Ephraim, which Asa his father had taken. Now the Lord was with Jehoshaphat because he walked in the former ways of his father David. He did not seek the Baals, but sought the God of his father and walked in his commandments and not according to the acts of Israel. Therefore, the Lord established the kingdom in his hand, and all Judah gave presents to Jehoshaphat. And he had riches and honor in abundance, and his heart took delight in the ways of the Lord. Moreover, he removed the high places and wooden images from Judah. Understand, remember, Asa did what was right for a while, but he didn't remove those idols up there on the hilltop. They didn't remove the wooden images from the mountain places. But he took them out. He said, high places, everything, all of that mess has got to go. And that's what he did. And that's why he had favor with God, because he trusted God, not stuff, not wooden images, not man-made anything. He trusted the Lord. And it goes on to tell us, also in the third year of his reign, he sent his leaders, Benaiah, Obadiah, Zechariah, nothing else, Malachiah, Micaiah, and Micaiah to teach in the city of Judah. And with them, he sent Levi, Shemaiah, Nethaniah, Zebadiah, Ashiel, Shemiramoth, Jehonathan, Nathan, Adonijah, Obadiah, Tobadonijah, and the Levites, and with them Ishmael, and Joram, and the priests. So they taught in Judah and had the book of the law of the Lord with them. They went throughout all the cities of Judah and taught the people. And the fear of the Lord fell on all the kingdoms of the land that were around Judah so that they did not make war against Jehoshaphat. Also, some of the Philistines brought Jehoshaphat presents and silver as tribute, and the Arabians brought him flocks, 7,700 rams and 7,700 male goats. So Jehoshaphat became increasingly powerful, and he built fortresses and sword cities in Judah. He had more property in the cities of Judah, and the men of war, mighty men of valor, were in Jerusalem. These are their numbers according to their fathers' horses. I'm sorry, their fathers' houses. Not horses, but houses. That's why you should wear your glasses when you're trying to read. And it says, of Judah, the captains of thousands, Adoniah, the captain, and with him 300,000 mighty men of valor. And next to him was Jehohanan, the captain, and with him 280,000. And next to him was Amisha, the son of Zechariah, who willingly offered himself to the Lord, and with him 200,000 mighty men of valor. Of Benjamin, Eliab, a mighty man of valor, and with him 200,000 men, armed with bow and shield. And next to him was Jehozabad, and with him 180,000 prepared for war. These served the king besides those the king put in the fortified cities throughout all Judah. Chapter 18 of the book of Second Chronicles. And understand, and I'm sure that some are saying, now didn't we read that already? It is in Second Kings, First Kings. Then it always ends, if you remember, in First Kings, and you will find this in the book of the Chronicles of the Kings of Judah, or you will find this in the book of the Chronicles of the Kings of Israel. So that's why we're seeing what we're seeing, and that's why it seems familiar. God will put everything in its place for you to remember it. But let's go back to 2 Chronicles chapter 17, verse 10. It says, the fear of the Lord fell on all the kingdoms of the land that were around Judah, so that they did not make war against Jehoshaphat. And it says, the Lord was has untold weapons in his heavenly arsenal to protect his obedient people. Here he used a general sense of fear to keep Israel's enemies at bay. Who knows how the Lord is protecting you right now? Hallelujah. We thank God for his protection. We thank God for his grace and his mercy. We thank God for just being who he is, an awesome and mighty God. And it goes on to tell us that Jehoshaphat had riches and honor in abundance, and by marriage he allied himself with Ahab. After some years, he went down to visit Ahab in Samaria, and Ahab killed sheep and oxen in abundance for him and the people who were with him, and persuaded him to go up with him to Ramoth Gilead. So Ahab, king of Israel, said to Jehoshaphat, king of Judah, will you go with me against Ramoth Gilead? And he answered him, I am as you are, and my people as your people. We will be with you in the war. Also, Jehoshaphat said to the king of Israel, please inquire for the word of the Lord today. He's like, yeah, I'll go with you, but we want to have God on our side. So can you inquire of the Lord what's going to happen today? Jehoshaphat said, I ain't playing. Nuh-uh. Nope, I'm not playing with my life now. I'll be there as an ally. I'm your ace, but I want to hear what God's got to say first. And that's what we have to do with everything. Let me check with the Lord first before I say yes. You know, and even if you say yes, you still got to check with the Lord. And it also goes on to say, also Jehoshaphat said to the king of Israel, please, let me say it again, please inquire for the word of the Lord today. Then the king of Israel gathered the prophets together, 400 men, and said to them, shall we go to war against Ramoth Gilead, or shall I refrain? So they said, go up, for God will deliver it into the king's hand. But Jehoshaphat said, is there not still a prophet of the Lord here that we may inquire of him? He's like, all these prophet lies, all these so-called prophets you got up here that you picked and chose, they not from God. I want to hear what the Lord has to say. Can they word. And so the king of Israel said to Jehoshaphat, there's still one by whom we may inquire of the Lord, but I hate him because he never prophesied any. He prophesied good concerning me. He never prophesies good concerning me, but always evil. He is Micaiah, the son of Imlah. And now understand, Micaiah, he was no plaything. He did not play. He told the truth, and the truth is the truth. But understand, he still likes to mess with the king. because he had a sense of humor, I believe. And so he was like, yeah, okay, chicken, this is what's going to happen. Whatever they say, yada, yada, yada. Had a Seinfeld moment there. But as we continue, it says this, and Jehoshaphat said, let not the king say such things. And the king of Israel called one of his officers and said, bring Micaiah, the son of Imla, quickly. The king of Israel and Jehoshaphat, king of Judah, clothed in their robes, sat each on his throne, and they sat at a threshing floor at the entrance of the gate of Samaria. And all the prophets prophesied before them. Now Zedekiah, the son of Shenaniah, had made horns of iron for himself. And he said, thus says the Lord, with these you shall gore the Syrians until they are destroyed. And understand, depending on the Bible that you're using, and I want to go over to my King James, hold on just a moment, because it's different. One will say, I believe it's the Assyrians, and one will say the Syrians. So let's go to King James real quick. 2 Chronicles chapter 18. And now when we go into 2 Chronicles chapter 18 in King James, they'll tell you, let me go back up to the word that I'm trying to get to here. Goes on to say, let's just actually go to, I'm going to King James for the rest of this word this morning. And when we go to King James, let me make sure I'm in King James, yes I am. And it says this. When we go to King James, it tells us, it's starting at verse number 11. And it says, and all the prophets prophesied, so saying, go up to Ramoth-Gilead and prosper, for the Lord shall deliver it into the hands of the king. And the messenger that went to call Micaiah spat to him, saying, behold, the words of the prophets declare good to the king with one assent. Let thy word, therefore, I pray thee, be like one of theirs, and speak thou good. And Micaiah said, as the Lord liveth, even what my God says, that I will speak. And when he was come to the king, the king said unto him, Micaiah, shall we go to Ramoth-Gilead to battle, or shall I forbear our forbear? And he said, go ye up and prosper, and they shall be delivered into your hand. And the king said to him, how many times shall I adjure thee that thou say nothing but the truth to me in the name of the Lord? Then he said, I did see all Israel scattered upon the mountains as sheep that have no shepherd. And the Lord said, these have no master. Let them return, therefore, every man to his house in peace. And the king of Israel said to Jehoshaphat, did I not tell thee that he would not prophesy good unto me, but evil? Again he said, therefore, hear the word of the Lord. I saw the Lord sitting upon his throne, and all the host of heaven standing on his right hand and on his left. And the Lord said, who shall entice Ahab, king of Israel, that he may go up and fall at Ramoth-Gilead? And one spat, saying about after this manner, and another saying after that manner. And there came out a spirit. And no, it didn't say Holy Spirit, did it? It said there came out a spirit and stood before the Lord and said, I will entice him. And the Lord said unto him, wherewith? That I will go out and buy a lion's spirit in the mouth of all his prophets. And the Lord said, thou shalt entice him, and thou shalt also prevail. Go out and do even so. Now therefore, behold, the Lord has put a lion's spirit in the mouth of these thy prophets, and the Lord has spoken evil against thee. Then Zedekiah, the son of Shenaniah, came near and smote Micaiah upon the cheek and said, which way went the spirit of the Lord from me to speak unto thee? And Micaiah said, behold, thou shalt see on that day that thou shalt go into an inner chamber, to hide thyself. Then the king of Israel said, take you, Micaiah, and carry him back to Ammon, the governor of the city, and Joash, the king's son, and say, thus said the king, put this fellow in prison, and feed him with bread of affliction and with water of affliction until I return in peace. And Micaiah said, if thou certainly return in peace, then has not the Lord spoken by me? And he said, hearken all ye people. So the king of Israel and Jehoshaphat and the king of Judah went up to Ramoth Gilead. And the king of Israel said unto Jehoshaphat, I will disguise myself, and I will go to the battle, but put thou on the robe. So the king of Israel disguised himself, and they went to the battle. Now the king of Syria, Syria had commanded the captains of the chariots that were with them, saying, fight ye not with small or great, save only with the king of Israel. And it came to pass, when the captains of the chariots saw Jehoshaphat, they said, is it the king of Israel? Therefore they compassed about him to fight. But Jehoshaphat cried out, and the Lord helped him, and God moved them to depart from him. But it came to pass that when the captains of the chariots perceived that it was not the king of Israel, they turned back again from pursuing him. And a certain man drew a bow at venture and smote the king of Israel between the joints of the harness. Therefore he said to his chariot man, turn thine hand, that thou mayest carry me out of the host, for I am wounded. And the battle increased that day. Howbeit, the king of Israel stayed himself up in his chariot against the Syrians until the evening, and about the time of the sun going down, he died. Poor okie doke. I'm going to dress up in disguise so they don't know I'm the king. And now you keep on your kingly robes, okay? I'm going to do this. Not understanding that when it's your time, it's your time. And you can't stop what God already has planned in your life. And so if we go back up to some life lessons from chapter 18, let's go to the word. And it says in 2 Chronicles 18 and 31, Jehoshaphat cried out, and the Lord helped him. The Lord helped Jehoshaphat out of the tight spot that he never should have been in. Why did godly King Jehoshaphat accompany Ahab to battle after hearing the prophecy of doom uttered by Micaiah? We don't know, but God in his grace spared him. God's grace covers a multitude of our sins, but we should never presume upon it. Hallelujah. You better say it. God can say it. And as we go into 2 Chronicles 8 and 33, a certain man drew a bow at random and struck the king of Israel between the joints of his armor. Though the Bible says that this was a random action by some unknown man, that arrow had a divine appointment with the joints of Ahab's armor. God can do whatever he pleases in order to fulfill his plans, even using seemingly random events to further his will. Woo, what a word. And let's go over to Psalm chapter 81, and we're going to be reading verses 11 through 16. And when we go to the Psalm, you know, there it talks about honey from the rock. And, you know, we have to understand God can give us whatever God wants us to have. You know, it's a beautiful word, and it says this, but my people would not heed my voice, and Israel would have none of me. So I gave them over to their own stubborn hearts to walk in their own counsel. Oh, that my people would listen to me, that Israel would walk in my ways. I would soon subdue their enemies and turn my hand against the haters of the Lord would pretend submission to him. But their fate would endure forever. He would have fed them also with the finest of wheat and with honey from the rock. I would have satisfied you. God is saying, if Israel had just done what I asked, had just acted like they know they're supposed to, had just followed the commands and statutes that I left for them, would have just done what was right and followed my commandments, I wouldn't have to deal with this. They wouldn't be enslaved. They wouldn't have gone through what they went through. But I allowed them with a reprobated mind to go out and to leave what is this beautiful land of milk and honey. They don't deserve it. And as we go to Psalms 81:16, with honey from the rock I would have satisfied you. God loves to bless his people when they obey his commands. He wants us to understand that the good of life comes to us only through him and not through any other means. Hallelujah. Proverbs 20:26-28. A wise king sifts out the wicked and brings the thrashing wheel over them. The spirit of a man is the lamp of the Lord, searching all the inner depths of his heart. And I'm going to read that one more time. The spirit of a man is the lamp of the Lord, searching all the inner depths of his heart. Is your light shining today? Do you have your spiritual light on? And is it bright and light? Because they say that you can look at a person's eyes and see their soul. Is their eyes bright that you can see the light of God? I pray so. And it goes on to say, mercy and truth preserve the king, and by loving kindness he upholds his throne. Hallelujah. Not by hate, not by war, not by vindictiveness, not by lies and deceit. But mercy preserves the king, and by loving kindness, he upholds his throne. Hallelujah. Remember that. You know, we get so caught up in liking folks that are evil and mean because they are bad this and they are this and that. They are bad. And it's not a bad for good. It is a bad for bad. I don't know when folks change good to bad. And bad to good. Now, they didn't say bad to good. They just said, ooh, that's bad, meaning it's good. No, good is good. Bad is bad. And we got to quit using words of negativity for things that are positive. We can't do it. We know that God is God and there is only one. And we just got to say thank you every day to let him know how much we appreciate the blessings of Abraham that he has given us. And when we go to our New Testament word, which is where our title comes from this morning, and all I can say is I love this word. It does something to my spirit to know that even in the depths of your most horrible time in life, going to jail, think that is, you in jail. But God will give you your at about midnight moment. Prayer and worship changes all kinds of things. Are you praying this morning? Are you giving God some time in your worship today? Are you saying, thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. That's all you can say is thank you, Lord. I just want to thank you. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. You know, Sister Carolyn, you know about Edwin Hawkins and the Hawkins singers. I believe Mary Mary did a cover of it. You know, and when you hear those words, you're saying that today, tragedies are commonplace. All kind of diseases. People are slipping away. The economy's down. People can't get enough pay. As for me, all I can say is thank you, Lord, for all you've done for me. It could have been me. Outdoors, no food, no clothes, all left alone, without a friend, just another number with a tragic end. But you didn't see fit to let none of these things be. By your grace and your power, you keep on keeping me. And I want to say thank you, Lord, for all you've done for me. We got to have our worship, and it's got to be real. Hallelujah. And a song by Joe Pace, it starts off, glory, hallelujah. This is what I've come to do. tear down strongholds, breaks and chains by the devil in Jesus' name. Tonight, we got a right to shake the foundation with praise. We got to have a praise him moment in our day. We got to have some time where we might just want to have a praise break shout. Hallelujah. And this is what the word of God says. Then the multitude rose up against them, and the magistrates tore off their clothes and commanded them to be beaten with rods. And when they had laid many stripes on them, they threw them into a prison, commanding the jail to keep them securely. Having received such a charge, he put them into the inner prison and fastened their feet in the stocks. So let's just say they was good and chained up. They was good and secure. But then it says in the word, ooh, this is my favorite. But, come on, y'all, can y'all say but with me? But at midnight, Paul and Silas were praying. Can you say, I pray in the night, and singing hymns to God. And the prisoners were listening to them. Suddenly, there was a vast earthquake, so that the foundation of the prison was shaken, and immediately all the doors were open and everyone's chains were loose. Hallelujah. There you have your at about midnight moment when you're praying and praising God, where you're in your worship and the foundation of your life changes. Hallelujah. And your chains are loose. Hallelujah. The chains of debt, the chains of poor health, the chains of your financial situation, the chains of your children, the chains too of your church, the chains of your attitude. It becomes an attitude of gratitude. All those chains coming off, hallelujah, at about midnight moment as they loosen, as they go away, as they are put down. Hallelujah. Do you have your at about midnight moment? I lift my hands and just say, thank you, Lord, today. And the keepers of the prison awakening from sleep and seeing the prison doors open, supposing the prisoners had fled, drew their sword and were about to kill himself, call with a loud voice saying, do yourself no harm, for we are all here. Then he called for a light, ran in and fell down trembling before Paul and Silas, and he brought them out and said, sirs, what must I do to be saved? Hallelujah. What must I do to be saved? We got to hear that more often in our churches. What must I do to be saved? Hallelujah, Jesus, thank you. Hallelujah, thank you, thank you, thank you for salvation. Thank you, Lord, for saving me. Saving my soul, saving my life, just saving me, Jesus. I thank you for your blood that covers me, covers my home, covers my children, covers my church and my pastor. Lord, we thank you for your coverage. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Lord, you're worthy of the glory and all the praise. Hallelujah. As the psalmist says, it makes me want to shout. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. And so they said, believe on the Lord. He said, can we say it one more time? What must I do to be saved? We got to have it in our spirit to give them the right answer. So they said, believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and you will be saved, you and your household. Did he give us a whole bunch, a whole lot of words, or you must go wash in the Jordan 55 times? You must run around the block 8 times. You must walk and talk at the same time for 7 times. You must, no, that's not what Paul said. What did he say? Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and you will be saved. I'm saying it one more time. Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and you will be saved, you and your household. Then they spoke the word of the Lord to him and to all who were in his house. And he took them the same hour of the night and washed their stripes. And immediately he and all his family were baptized. Now, when he had brought them into his house, he set food before them, and he rejoiced having believed in God with all his household. And when it was day, the magistrates sent the officers, saying, let those men go. So the keeper of the prison reported these words to Paul, saying, the magistrates have sent to let you go. Now, therefore, depart and go in peace. But Paul said to them, they have beaten us openly, uncondemned Romans, and have thrown us into prison. And now do they put us out secretly? No, indeed. Let them come themselves and get us out. Now, their Paul was having a little arrogance there. There was a little arrogance in that. You know, there was some arrogance in that. And it says, and the officers told these words to the magistrate, and they were afraid when they heard that they were Romans. Then they came and pleaded with them and brought them out and asked them to depart from the city. So they went out of the prison and entered the house of Lydia. And when they had seen the brethren, they encouraged them and departed. Whew. I want my At About Midnight moment. And our life lesson for this morning is Acts 16:25. At midnight, Paul and Silas were praying and singing hymns to God. Hallelujah. Paul and Silas had been attacked by a mob, beaten by soldiers, thrown in stocks, and shoved into a dark, high-security prison. How did they react with prayer and singing? Only the Spirit can produce such unexpected joy. Hallelujah. Do you have joy in your heart today? Do you have that At About Midnight moment going on in your home today? Are you believing that prayer and worship changes all kind of things? It helps your family when we pray and when we worship. For there is no God like our God. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Whew, I'm just filled up this morning. And as we go into this life example, we're talking about Silas. It says, Silas singing for victory. And it says, and exhausted as he fell, Silas could not sleep. The stale air in the inner cell made breathing difficult, and the torment of his wounds kept him from getting much sleep. Would he and Paul live to see another day? Silas did not know, neither meditated on injustice, nor despaired of his situation. Instead, faith filled his heart. When Silas and Paul lifted their voices in song, a violent earthquake shook the prison. Soon, they led the jailer and his entire family to the Lord. You have a song to sing as well. Though your situation may feel overwhelming, are you willing to trust God in your circumstances? Do you believe that no problem is beyond his power as you allow God to conduct the symphony of your life? You will see him shaking your own prison. Will you, like Silas, lift up your voice to hear the coming victory? Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Lord, you're worthy of all the glory and all the honor and all the praise. It makes me want to shout. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Whew, hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. That is our word for this morning in our scripture. And before we get out of here, a word from our sister in Christ, Sister Carolyn, and our prayer for today. And our prayer for today is, we haven't got our word yet from Sister Carolyn, but our word for today, our prayer for today from our 365 Days of Prayer for Life for this July 11th day is this. There is gifts. There are varieties of gifts, but the same Spirit. And there are varieties of ministries and the same Lord. There are varieties of effects, but the same God who works all things in all persons. But to each one is given the magnificent manifestation of the Spirit for the common good. 1 Corinthians chapter 12, verse 4 through 7. And I'm going to go over to King James, our New King James, and read that scripture. So it's a little bit better understood by us. And it may say the same thing, but I just like being in my King James. So let's go to Corinthians, 1 Corinthians. And we're going to go to chapter 12. And we're going to go to verse 4. And again, I'm in New King James, and it says, now there are diversities of gifts, but the same Spirit. There are differences of administrations, but the same Lord. There are diversities of operations, but the same God, which worketh all in all. But the manifestation of the Spirit is given to every man to profit with all. And that is, I like actually the NASB when it says that in each one is given the manifestation of the Spirit for the common good. The common good. And as our word says, every man to profit, to be given to every man to profit with all. But I like the common good better. And that's why you have different Bibles in your arsenal, so that you can read it to make you understand it and to help you understand it. But the prayer for this morning, it says this. Wonderful One, you are the giver of all good things. You pour out your gifts to all in different measures and in unique ways. I am thankful for the gifts you have deposited in me. I know that I did not get left out when you were deciding who gets what. Keep my heart from jealousy that would see another's gift as more valuable than my own. Ooh, what a prayer. Your love does not discriminate. Let my confident assurance in your character translate to confidence in who you created me to be. I don't want to be anyone else. No, I want to come alive in who you have proposed me to become. Let me never forget how you delight in me. As I find my confidence in your Spirit that fills me, let me see the beauty that you have put in others. I pray that I would value those with gifts and temperaments different from my own. You are Lord over all. You are the unifier. Oh, hallelujah. Thank you, Father God. Again, prayer and worship changes all kind of things. We got to pray. We got to worship. We got to spend time with God. And the word that they have for today is this. What gift has God put in you to reflect his character to others? I'm going to read that again. What gift has God in you to reflect his character to others? We each must stand on the promises of God. Whatever God has for you is for you and is irrevocable. Keep trusting God today. Get into your time with him. Prayer and worship changes your life. It changes all kind of things. Let the Holy Spirit light up in you today, that whoever sees you sees God's beautiful Spirit inside of you. And the fact is that there is none like you. We are all individually made by God with different personalities, different heights, different ways, different colors, different everything. But we are all one in Christ Jesus. And we should never forget the hating us. Thank you, family, for listening in this morning. And may the Lord watch between me and thee while we're absent, one from each other. In Jesus' name, I pray over you and yours. Have a blessed and glorious day and spend some time in prayer and worship with God and watch and change circumstances in your life. I'm believing today that God has a blessing with my name on it. Hallelujah. And if there's someone that needs to speak, now's the time. Evangelist, your line is open. Evangelist Shannon, your line is open.
Oh, I did not know. God must have did that because I did not touch number one. But on today, I'm just truly grateful that when you called my number, that God woke me up. Because as I told the Father who art in heaven and Christ Jesus, our Lord and Savior, that it wasn't Pastor Bridget that woke me up this morning. It wasn't the phone ring that woke me up this morning, but it was my Father who art in heaven. And I'm truly grateful to be alive in Christ on today, breathing the breath that he breathed in Adam's nostrils. He breathed in my nostrils. So I'm grateful to be alive today. And I thank God for you, Pastor Bridget, for all that you do for God. Speaking, teaching, sharing, hallelujah, serving the word of God all across the nation, all across the globe. You're training up. People just don't realize that when you go forward and you're moving forward, you're training us up that we will have, hallelujah, a spirit. Hallelujah, that God had prepared for us. And so I thank you for training us up. That in the word it says, train them up in a way that they will go, and when they get old, they will not depart. So, Father God, I ask you to continue, hallelujah, to train up your daughter that she may train each and every one all across the globe in Jesus' name. Amen and amen and amen for the Holy Ghost.
Amen. Praising God this morning. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Lord, you're worthy of the glory and all the
praise. Amen.
Glory. Hallelujah. Praise and I'm going to tell you now, I'm not singing because I don't have a voice early in the morning. But I thank God that I do in the afternoon because I praise him like everybody switches. Because only he and I can hear me. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. I just get all giddied up because I know that God is in charge of everything. Have a blessed day, family. Lift those hands, give God praise, and just say with me, hallelujah, thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah, thank you, Jesus. I'm excited. I know we're going to have a great day. If it's raining, just remember, as Pastor Jesse preached on yesterday, the storm is there to wash away all the dirt. Hallelujah. So if you're going through your storms this morning, know that it's just a temporary thing, but that God has already given you your rainbow, your covenant to know that he's you covered. Hallelujah. From the crown
Amen.
Of your head to the soles of your feet, we all belong to God. And whatever we're going through, remember that your
Hallelujah.
Prayer and your worship changes all kinds of things. Hallelujah. I'm thanking God for the changes coming in my life. Because my praise is for real. Hallelujah. Thank you, Father. Thank you all for joining me this morning. Have a blessed day. And know that God has got you all covered. That you belong to him. And he belongs to you. Hallelujah. Thank you, Father God. In Jesus' name, one more time. Father God, watch between each and every one of us, Lord God. Bless us beyond measure with your grace and your mercy. For you, Lord God, are the author and the finisher of our life. And all the gifts that you have given us are irrevocable. Lord, let us use them for your glory and for your kingdom. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. And as Kirk says, I'm lifting you up, Kirk, today. As he says, I don't want to love nobody but you. Hallelujah. So we don't want to love anybody but the Father. Love nobody
Amen.
But the Son. God, the Father, God, the Son, God, the Holy Spirit. I don't want to love nobody but you. Have a blessed day, family. It's a wrap.
It's a wrap.
Gotta go to work, y'all. Hey, be blessed.